Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend. Today, we are going to talk about an article I read yesterday in Christianity Today. I can't believe this is in a Christian magazine. The story is called the cover story. Well, I don't think that's what it's called. I think they were just saying it was a cover story. You never know when you read on websites. God of the Second Shift. And I can't wait to get into this article because what we are seeing in the church today is so dangerous. It is so antithetical to the Word of God, is when we are propping up the philosophies of man instead of focusing on God's Word. And we are seeing it here in this article where it talks about Christianity and focusing on the working class and the workers in the second shift. Before we get into that, go over to crosspolitic.com, become a member, pray for us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of life, where we go against the philosophies of man, where we talk about how God's law, the Word of God, is applicable, beneficial, and able to navigate us through every area of life, even work. So go over there, become a member, help support us, get great benefits, and help us as we continue to proclaim the Lordship in every, the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of life. I almost said just Lordship. Would not have made sense. If you have any questions, comments, something I say that doesn't make sense, like I was just about to, if you could find me on all the social media sites at How to Build a Tent, you can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. I just realized I should probably stop saying all social media sites because I'm not like on Snapchat or anything like that. I'm a married man. There's no place for married men on Snapchat, I don't think. All right. So the story is God of the Second Shift. And the subtitle is The Theology of Work Conversation is Thriving. Why are most workers missing from it? It's a very interesting title, and it made me dive into it. It's a super long article, so I just want to hit some key points that just really concern me and that we should identify as Christians when anything to do with Christianity and how the philosophy of man can creep into our conversations, to our thoughts, to our perspective, to our worldview. And we need to be able to address it, call it out, and bring us back to a biblical basis, a biblical worldview, a biblical framework on how to view the world. And I'm going to start off with this first quote. It's two paragraphs. It says, our group was white. That right there is just a red flag when you start talking about color skin. Our group was white, college educated, and passionate about helping people find meaning in their careers. We looked at Josie Mambu De Leon, I'm sorry if I butcher that. He's a pastor of a bilingual working class congregation called Westside Church International. International in English. Eager to hear his thoughts on a recent Faith and Work, and they put that in quotes, conference. For us, working isn't about thriving, he says. It's about surviving. Perilous. And then the next paragraph says, they reminded me of a similar conversation, me being the author, I had with Nicol Baker Folgman, president of the educational reform group called the Expectations Project. Baker Folgman, an African-American working with low-income kids, asked me bluntly, so when do we start talking about faith, work, and life for fast food employees? Right off the bat, they're doing something that Christians should never do, is focus on to highlight biblical or categories that are not biblical. As Christians, we should not be focusing on race. Race is a concept of man. It's an evolutionary principle. If you go read the full title of Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, it's like the natural selection process of favored species in it. That's where this stems from, this idea of races and one race against another. But God created all of humanity in the image of God. So right there is a big red flag for me, and I know this article is going to go sideways. And I want to read a verse in Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 that contrasts this perspective, I think, quite clearly. It says, slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not like those who do their work only when someone is watching, as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Obey with enthusiasm as those serving the Lord and not people. Ooh, I just whistled there. Because you know that each person, whether slave or free, if he does something good, this will be rewarded by the Lord. So that is quite a contrast to me from the article focusing on the forgotten second shift about the fast food employees, the African Americans they're alluding to, which to me seems super racist. Why are African Americans the fast food employees? There's tons of white people that are in fast food, are fast food employees. And it's not a bad starter job, for one thing. If that's your first job, that's a good job. It's going to teach you a lot. The article is painting this victimhood mentality, which is exactly what the world is using right now to cause strife, to cause division, opposed to what the Bible talks about and how all our work should be done as if we were working for the Lord. And not that we should get credit, not that we should get attention, not that we should get recognition from anyone else, but we should work like we're working for our Lord, and that is it. That should have been the starting place of any Christian article talking about issues of people being treated poorly or sins or crimes against a group of people, which they don't ever give specifics. They just talk in generalities, which is another red flag for me. But he says that whether you are slave or free, it doesn't matter your status, that we should all be working unto the Lord because he's the one who bought us with a price. We owe our lives to him. A next quote says, but there's a growing anxiety among Christian leaders that our national vocation conversation has a class platform. First, Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. So if you are a Christian leader and you are anxious, you need to go to God and repent. And you need to commit whatever is bothering you, whatever you're anxious about, to him, especially if you're a Christian leader. Because if you are an anxious leader, then you're going to be leading people to anxiety as well. And secondly, in Colossians 3:11, it says, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. As Christian leaders, we need to stop. And I don't even know who these Christian leaders are. They don't name anybody. But if there are Christian leaders leading people down this path of class warfare, of identity politics, of identity religion, I don't even know why Christians are talking about this, except to rebuke it and bring people back to the classes that the Bible talks about, and preaching the gospel that Jesus is all in all, and that whatever status the world is giving you, Jesus has made you an heir if you would just come to him and give your life to him. And that is the important thing. And I think that is one of the things that bugs me so much about this article, is that the philosophies of men, Marxism, is creeping into this. And this is what is on full display. And the Bible is secondary to this whole article. I don't even think I got to a verse until the second part of the story, which it was a really long story. I think it'd be like 6 pages if I was reading it in a magazine. We as Christian leaders shouldn't be anxious, especially over a class problem. We should be anxious, or we should be most focused on preaching the gospel and bringing people to God. So in the next quote in the article, I want to point out, it says, today when American evangelical leaders talk about work, the working class, which is 2/3 of the American workforce, it's largely absent. The working class is such an abstract term. I'm not sure if anyone has nailed down a definition of it, because white collar people work too, just as much as blue collar people. Blue-collared working people do. So this working class category is ridiculous to me, but they click on a link and then the link goes to what they cite as the study, which is people that don't have a college degree. So, and this article is treating working class people that don't have a college degree, which is funny because I thought you go to college to get a job that you want. So another thing that I want to point out to this is they say American evangelical leaders, but they don't name names. So who are these leaders that are looking over 2/3 of the people? What sermons are they referring to? What seminar? What lecture? What school? Who are these people? To me, you are just making a broad generalization because you have been influenced by these Marxist ideas that there is a victim, that we need to right the wrongs on earth. Completely different than what the gospel is teaching, that man is sinful and we need to repent, and that God is coming to make all things new. If there is an issue again, let's call it out, let's go through the biblical process to address it, and then let's move on. But let's not paint a whole society with a broad brush that's unjustified. It's funny too, they paint Steve Jobs as the white privileged male who talks about enjoying work and how the underprivileged working class doesn't have the ability to enjoy their job. They're just doing it to get by and to survive. But in their definition, Steve Jobs would be considered working class because he dropped out of college too. He never got a college degree. And what strikes me, again, is one of the things that bugs me the most, is the first book quoted is not the Bible. The first thing quoted is not the Bible. It's a left-wing communist sympathizer in the McCarthy-era writer named Studs Terkel. And the quote goes like this. It is about a search for daily meaning as well as daily bread, for recognition as well as cash, for astonishment rather than torpor, or however you say it, T-O-R-P-O-R. In short, for a sort of life rather than a Monday through Friday sort of dying. And then he says, the author says, I like the quote so much I put it in my email signature. He goes on, Calvin Coolidge philosopher James K.A. Smith said, who once pulled a 10-hour graveyard shift on an air filter assembly line, says, the bias of the faith and work, in quotes or brackets, conversation toward the professional, creative, quote, largely white-collar worker means that many people who undertake manual or menial labor simply don't see themselves as having a voice in this conversation. The first thing I want to point out is obviously people that do work long hours and the blue collar jobs has a voice because there's quoting someone who came from that background. Secondly, not everyone white collar or blue collar's voice is deserved to be heard. Not everyone's opinions are equal. We are not obligated to listen to everybody. We should be promoting the wise people, the ones who are the thought leaders, the ones who are biblically based. Those are the people we should listen to, especially in the Christian community. We shouldn't just be going around and pretending like everyone's word is equal. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I see leaders rising up in the Bible and communicating and articulating biblical truths. Those were the people that were looked up at too as good leaders. And thirdly, I've never heard once in my life somebody being dismissed or being silenced or not being valued simply on that basis. Not once in my whole Christian life. Before as a Christian, I grew up in the church. I've never seen that once. And again, these broad brush generalizations, these Marxist undertones that this author is identifying with. He puts quotes from these people on his email. The last quote I'm going to hit, it says, it may be time to do some soul searching. Have we, by which I mean myself and presumably many of these magazines' readers, seen the culture-shaping power of work, but been blind to the daily humiliations, quote-unquote, which is a reference to that other author, of those who work we depend on each day? Have we been interpreting scripture through our own professional class bias and failed to ask how working-class Americans think and feel about their work? Again, this victim mentality. But what scriptures are we misrepresenting? What scriptures do we have bias, or that our bias is interpreting in a wrong way? He doesn't say. He's generalizing. There's no specific details for us to address and fix. He is stirring the pot and trying to create a victim mentality. He's trying to play the white racist blame game. And that should not have anything to do with the church. It shouldn't be written about by a Christian. It shouldn't be published by a Christian magazine. And as Christians, we should speak out against it, like I'm doing now. He finally gets to scripture, but even then he's dismissing it. He says something, but Christianity says the prime motivation for work isn't enjoyment, but the love of God. I just wish this author would speak passionately about the Bible and put it in its rightful place as the preeminent book we go to instead of the philosophies of man of today, instead of these left-wing authors. I wish he would put Bible verses on his emails and not this Marxist literature, these Marxist thoughts, these Marxist sentiments, these Marxist philosophies. I wish that this author would be passionately in love with God's law and God's word. I want to end with this, 2 Corinthians 6:14, and this is the rub. This is what drives me the nuttiest. Paul says to the Corinthians, do not become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Marxism, Karl Marx, the guy who said religion is the opium of the masses. It's the opium of the masses. He hated religion. He hated God. And yet his philosophies have trickled into the church. They have seeped in. But like Paul says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? We need to expel it. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to think of people and their status in life and their work through the lens of Scripture, not Marxism, not Karl Marx, but Jesus Christ. And our Christian magazines need to return to publishing quality work that uses the Bible as a basis and not the philosophies of man. Partnering is not just relationships, but it's also in thought. But we shouldn't be reading it into places it's not. We shouldn't be using it to divide people. And I love that the cross-politic guys talk about this so much better than I do. And they do a great job of this. So go check over their podcast as well. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts about this article, I'll put the article in the show notes so you can check it out. It's really long. And if you have any disagreements or comments or responses to me, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. You could find me on the social media sites. That's not Snapchat, at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matthowtobuildatent.com, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.